Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Ring with the harmony, oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high. South and Georgia.
And on May 5th, I'm asking you for your vote to serve as 2nd District Councilwoman.
I'm Ebony Tillman, and I approve of this message.
Kept my credit card balances low and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
In times like these, strangers at your door should be treated cautiously. But unwelcome strangers in your home can be your worst nightmare. Home invasion is a form of armed robbery where criminals break into homes through unlocked or open doors and windows. They even trick people into opening their doors to confront victims face to face. They can be after money and valuables, threaten personal assault, or take members of the family captive. But you can be proactive against these disturbing attacks. Learn how to protect yourself against home invasions. Never open the door to strangers. Secure your home with high security locks and quality door and window hardware. Consider a home security system and even a dog. It's also a good idea to devise an action plan for your family in case intruders ever do enter your home. To learn more about how to keep your home safe from intruders, visit ncpc.org. That's ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
I want to change some things.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalk.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
It's Health Awareness Month, and the Talk of Chicago has your prescription to a healthy lifestyle. Healthy tips, healthy reminders, and medical experts all month long, only on WBON. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. Want to connect with WBON on all of our social media? We've made it simple. Just text SOCIAL to 88474, and the links will be on your phone in seconds. Standard text message rates apply.
Bright like she been up since 5 o'clock, bright and ready to shine. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud, I'm black and I'm proud. I'm so glad to be back, y'all. I'm so glad because we have a lot to talk about this morning. You know, Benny King died. We're going to play some of him. You know, our music, I talked about our music earlier, how they just, you know, usually we can go get in a water hole and sit and have a little drink or just sit around the table and talk about our problems and come up with a strategy. But when you close down every club in the black community, except very few, you don't have that many places to go sit, or just a bar, just a place you go sit where you listen to some music and you talk. We was able to do that for Harold, do it for Dr. King, and all of our struggles, we was able to come together and talk. Now you got to go north of the river somewhere and go give your money somewhere else. That's, you should have the right to do that, but you should also have your own. Them clubs was closed, that closed down. That closed down, and them bars and stuff, that closed down businesses. I'm not anti-bars and clubs and stuff. I want y'all to know that. And I never believed in having no moratorium. Black community was the only one putting moratoriums in place. So mean that you either going to stand on the corner or get something and go in your house or go to somebody else's community, and you cannot come in and you cannot talk. So, and when I hear our music and know what the music came out of, you know, B.B. King right now is in hospice. He's sick. He's in Vegas, and there's a lot going on with that, where they're saying that that he was neglected and his daughter didn't get charged. There's a lot of stuff going on. And you think about him, and Bobby's gone, and you think about Benny King and all the music they played. And then you look at the music, and you're all excited. Somebody can sing. We need no voice. We had voice. We have a place to do what we got to do. We have got to rebuild communities. That's why I believe that you got to repair this damage. Blacks, the descendants of enslaved Africans in America, should be talking about nothing but a Marshall Plan for us in terms of rebuilding the community, educational, economically, health-wise, and all the other things. We have to come together to build that, the post-trauma that we're going through. Also, you know, even black police officers, I don't know any of them who ever brutalized a white person. And that's why I love Renault Robertson when he had the Afro-American Patrolman League. They were some strong. When under Renault Robertson, those police officers were strong, and they took some hit from some of their own black police officers. So I'm not saying all of the ones are bad. We got some that's really stand for us and work for us, but you got some that's scared to death, just like you got them in businesses scared. You got them in across the board, politicians who have this scared. Don't be scared when it comes to black folks. I'm telling you, I've been down when I was in government, I'd be down there and they say, I'm sorry, I can't go with that because it's going to hurt my community. And somebody called me up and told me yesterday, well, you know, when you put these people in office, you have to stay with them. Well, I told them, poor white folks don't stay with them politicians. There's some mess up they go say, but these folks work on their behalf. Every ethnic group work on their behalf. This stuff is new to us. It's almost like what they did, I told you, when they did the, when the Emancipation Proclamation. Okay, go, y'all, go. And folks were, oh, I'm on this board. I'm important. I can sit with the white folks. And if you're so important and you build your own, that makes you stronger. Oh, I'm an elected official, so I'm here for you to serve me. Oh, I'm a this, I'm a that. Not knowing that you got those positions to come back and rebuild community. It is a disgrace. If you look at all of what we're supposed to have made, as Dr. King gave his life and others did, Malcolm and all of them, if we have done all that and put you in place and we're still like this 50 years later, we better take an internal look, y'all, here. So we got an internal, external struggle. The reason this stuff is going on, it's not all the other folks. It's some of our own folks who just gotten up and they've done something else. So anyway, I'm going 773-591-1690, streaming live, www.von.com, Dorothy Wright Tillman, coffee tea in the conversation with me, classes in session. We're going to be teaching each other this morning. We're on Blog Talk. You can go to my Facebook, or you can go to Jimmy Lee, or you can go to coffee tea. You get on. We're on blackplanet.com, iHeartRadio, www.von.com, and we are going to go to the phone. My phone bank is lit up, but I'm going to go to Dolores first, who's a retired police officer, because I really want to talk to her. Dolores, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Dorothy. How you doing?
I'm all right. I know you, Dolores owner.
Yeah, you know me. I'm Jim's wife.
Yeah, because you was part of that strong black group of police officers. And you,
I wanted to tell you, I came in after Renault left, but I was under Howard Sappho, and we had a bunch of strong black men and women.
Yes, you did. Yes.
But two of the things I want to point out is the first one about Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
If anything, people in Chicago should have learned a lesson that protesting still worked and elections still work, because Mosley was elected. So we have to realize that we still need to get out and vote.
Yeah, but you got to, and those who you put in there, they got to know that they that you put them in there, and they got to know that they got the representation, because we got more people in office now than we had before the Civil Rights Bill was passed, and we were so. We got more.
Yeah,
No, they're not representing.
They're not representing. When they get in there, they turn.
Right.
They have a strong, you know, campaign. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But as soon as they get in there and they make that little money, because half of the black folks in there, they don't have a second job. Their whole job is that office.
And also they think, some of our people get in there, think they're there to be served and not to serve. And really, this probably most thing they've been into. They don't have an ideology. You know, Dolores, when we was out there working with Lou Baum and everybody, we had an ideology of how we wanted the black community to be. Sappho and all of y'all had an ideology. Renault Robertson had laid out something, and they stood strong.
And strong.
Yes, yes. And you all protected Harold and our community. We could go to you.
And we weren't afraid to go up against the white police officers.
That's right.
And the white establishment.
That's right. That's right. Well, DeLore,
and also,
go on.
Let me tell you about my experience with police officers.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, you know, the black police officer, you know, kind of stand back, you know, when the white police officers come. But I was known in my district that day when if I was on the scene, they better treat them just like they treat the white ones.
Yes, they did.
And I had confronted a group of white boys in Chatham at about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I had them all standing outside of the car.
Mm-hmm.
White police officer pulled up and said, well, it's kind of cold out here. Y'all sit in the car. I said, hell no, they ain't sitting in the car. They're going to stand right here. If my brothers can stand in the cold, these white boys can stand in the cold.
Uh-huh. That sounds like you, DeLore.
Hey, I did it once when I was working on the north side. We had a domestic. I go in there, there's about 4 or 5 police officers in there, white. I'm the only black.
Mm-hmm.
And this crazy woman running around the apartment. I'm like, come y'all ain't control this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I grabbed her and threw her down on the couch and told her she get up, it's going to be the last time she get up. They all looked at me like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a reputation when I came around, they had to treat my brothers and sisters like they had sense. They had to give them the same respect they gave to them white folks that happened into our neighborhood.
Well, DeLores, I know for a fact that you were like that because you all came from that Renault Robinson, Sappho, that thing about protecting the black community, to serve and protect
sure
our
did.
Community the same.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this, DeLores. Now, why is it that you very seldom hear a black police officer brutalizing a white person?
Because they're scared. They're scared. They're scared they're going to be labeled and that, you know, the white boys, you know, going to turn up against them. And the thing about it is, you know, when they get in there, they get co-opted just like those representatives that we put in office. When they get into the office, they're scared, oh, I'm going to lose my job.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them, this is the best job that they had,
mm-hmm.
so they're going to go along.
Mm-hmm.
They may not, you know, join in the fight or anything. They'll just stand by and look. But, you know, the thing in their mind is, I don't want to lose this good job.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you think about these black officers, DeLores, down in? I wasn't surprised. Folks saying, I said, they said they were surprised. I said, I'm not, you know. What I'm happy about is what the sister did. But these black officers, they got 3 of them. There's a black woman in there. I thought about people like you, too. Is there a running that you called it today? Because when I saw, I think her name was White. I think that was her last name. The woman that got caught up in it, I saw her, too.
Uh-huh.
In Baltimore. What do you think about these black police officers that's involved? And the brother who was driving the car, they put his picture out there first, if you notice, before they released the other ones.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing about it now is that we got a new breed of police officers that came in after, you know, me and my group were in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they aren't conscious as to that, you know, I'm black before I'm blue.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to lose a sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
And they really think that, you know, they're blue. They forget that they're black. They call themselves blue. And a white person ain't going to stand up for that black police officer when he get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that they don't understand and realize.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it, Dorothy. We only have one black organization for the rank and file, not the hierarchies.
Who is it?
The Black Police Association. Do you know?
I don't know. Who do you have? I know you have the Guardian. Is it the Guardian?
You know, the Guardians, I don't know if the Guardians is still in existence. If they are, you know, they my age. I'm 65, so they were there before I was there.
Now, what about Noble? That's the those are the executives.
No, those are the ones that have the sergeants and above.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about the police officers
rank
and still in the blue uniform.
Uh-huh.
They haven't joined the Afro-American Police League.
No, they you know, scared. I know they didn't
join.
Pat tried to carry it on, but Pat didn't have the same thing that Robinson had because Robinson had all y'all. They've been but then they never said Pat was not a police and this and that. But I don't know. I noticed one thing though: the Hispanics and the other organization have come in and patted themselves at the black folks. They got a Hispanic organization of rank and file police, don't they?
And it's going strong too. Yes, they do.
Yeah,
but the black. Do not join the Afro-American Police League, and that is the strangest thing to me because the black Afro-American Police League, they fought for blackness.
Yeah.
They're the ones that get all them sergeants and lieutenants in them jobs.
That's right.
For all that.
That's right.
They, just let it go by the wayside.
Well, I do know that the Hispanic have Hispanic patrolmen, a Hispanic, everything that we've had, they got it.
They got it.
And
they
what you've
it.
Seen is more of them getting promoted and more of them are getting on the jobs than our own people. Am I correct?
Exactly. Because Renault and Sappho, that's what they fought for,
mm-hmm.
that we get on the jobs and we get into the white shirts.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, I don't know what to say about this younger generation.
So what do you think it's we should like, do?
You know, it's just like the kids out there. The kids out there, they're amoral kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, half of them don't think they're going to live to be 25.
That's
so
right.
They don't care. They don't fear death.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what we can do about these black police officers trying to teach them or reteach them that they're black before they blue.
Dolores, we have to talk because there's some stuff we got to do. I saw you the last time we said we were going to talk. We didn't get together. Stay on the line. Make sure you're able to get your number. We do need to talk, Dolores. We got some stuff we need to do, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Give Jim my love.
Okay, I sure will.
Okay, I'm going to get Dolores' number. I was so glad to hear from her because she was really a part of the African the Patrolman League. They wasn't scared of nothing, and I love it. I love it. I love it. Let me go to Margarita. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, Mrs. Tillman.
Good morning.
You're
Hispanic caller. TV creates the image.
Yes, ma'am. I think the black community.
Let me ask you first. Are you Hispanic? Now you a Latino? What is your origin as being a Latino? Are you from Dominican Republic? Are you Puerto Rican? Are you Mexican? What are you?
Mexican.
Okay. Go on. I'm listening.
Yeah. I know. There's a lot of beautiful black people and a lot of treasures in the black community, but the only thing we see on TV is the white people having all the nice cars, nice houses, and so people are brainwashed. We're all Americans. We're brainwashed like to admire them, and so and the black people we see them like kind of like negative roles. So when as a society, you know, I think we're treating people the white people even if they're criminals like oh, okay. You're
well, they do have two sets of rules. But let me ask you something.
Uh-huh.
In terms of the Mexican Latinos, in terms mm-hmm. of them and the African American community, now you all have as much fighting and drugs and all the stuff going on as be going on in the black community. But do you find that they show more of it in the black community than they do in the Mexican community? Even though I said they be killing and shooting in the Mexican community and on the corners and have their gangs just like we have over here. And
right, right.
Do you think they focus more on the blacks than they do?
I think the black community is like see, like some almost like I see them as being like used almost as entertainment. Like, hey, let's see what the black people are doing today. And I don't
well, you know what it is, don't you,
Mark? Right?
You know what it is. The descendants of enslaved Africans in America built this country, and one of the things they're really frightened of, and they want to keep us down, so we don't understand that we have a right to the resources and to repair the damage. I want you to keep listening and call back again so we can keep the dialogue going. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Johnny, how you doing? Entertainment you want to talk about?
Alderman, really appreciate this class. My wife and I are always sitting right up front.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're right on the money with jazz and blues because I can tell you this. There are folks in California looking to see what happens relative to, you know, 43rd Street, 47th Street, you know, the president's library coming. That's going to change the entire landscape.
Yeah, all I got to do is put together a redevelopment plan for black folks, and you can do it. That's all you got to do. You know, we had a redevelopment plan where we said from here to here is going to be black-owned businesses, it's going to be clubs, it's going to be restaurants. Leadership across the city and across this country can do this to rebuild these communities. These communities need jobs.
We could do this immediately because we need a coalition of entertainers to just kind of take a stand. Because 47th, I mean, that's a beautiful 47th and King is a beautiful corner.
I think
and
so.
And I think you had a lot to do with that.
Oh, yeah. And let me tell you, also, the city fathers and the representative state, local, and
mm-hmm.
nationally can also bring the resources back to help do that, too, Johnny.
Let's shoot some movies. Let's cut some videos. You know, I mean, really, because now is the time. I mean, look at how beautiful today is. And just drive by 47th and King today. Today is a beautiful day, and it signifies a lot of things going on. There's a lot
well, you didn't look. What you would drive by, what you look at those at the lampposts and see what's on the lampposts, and then you understand what I was trying to do over there.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I leave you with this, though?
Hurry up.
Something heavy. Gary Solomon, you know, the partner with Supes and those racist emails.
Yeah.
You know,
we're going to talk about that next week because I really want to deal the educational piece next week.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about.
Because he's entrusted to educate our
Yeah,
children.
I want to talk about the education. We'll talk
important.
About education next week, Johnny.
Okay.
Okay, because we got to deal with this right now. And I want to make sure I get some B.E. King before. How many minutes I got over the court? And I got some time to do. Okay. All right. Okay. Barbara, we're going to do B.E. King one out. Barbara?
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
I am concerned about several things, and I want to highlight them. Healing is going to be very important, and your son did a fantastic job on his handout about what we should do about stop militarizing the war defense equipment. I went to a march once where it was a big tank there. So what I want us to do is to make sure we get a letter into our new Attorney General, Loretta Lynch. And I'm urging her that a law that the police in no state or territory in USA can handcuff someone to the back, throw them into a vehicle, beat them, choke them, rough.
I think you said we need a federalized law.
It's called a rough ride, rough ride.
So we need law. What you're saying, Barbara, is that we need laws that standardize throughout this country that should be held instead of each state getting their own state rights, right?
Yeah, I didn't understand you.
I said you're saying we need to get a federalized one thing.
Oh, yeah,
exactly. Okay,
no
thanks.
No state can allow their police department to torture, shoot, rough ride. That's what my son said it's called. And
okay.
What they do is the police laugh as you're bumping all around.
Well, it's post-traumatic slavery, and it's still deal with us like the descendants of enslaved African Americans are still under attack. Thanks, Barbara. We're still under attack. I'm going to try to see can I get James before I go on break. I can't do it. I got 2 minutes. Okay, James, you want to go on hold for a second? Put
yes,
James back on hold. Okay, y'all, Talk of Chicago, 69 WVUN, Dorothy Wright, Tillman, Coffee Tea, in the conversation with me every Saturday from 6 to 8. Class is in session. We've got to take a break. No, B.E. King died, and B.B. King is sick, and we're going to play this. This is how the black community feel when we put you in position, and whether you elected, whether you, whatever you are, we want you to stand by us. Our music was our message, a message to our music that made us do what we got to do. This is the kind of music I grew up with. Come on, we miss a great one is gone now. Stand by me. This is going to take us out. She's pulling it up. Okay. We're going to do him. Because he died. A lot of y'all are under the boardwalk. Spanish Harlem. Last Dance for Me. I mean, we had music that made us do. That's why we need our clubs. We need our everything. They went in. Made all our communities drive and closed our clubs and took away everything. So now you want to do something. Are we ready over there, Courtney? Do I have to play? Okay, y'all. Stand by me. When we elect you or when you represent us or when you take the minority contract, as you call it, stand by us. We got to stand together. Reparations now. Reparations now. 773-591-1690. Streaming live, www.theduin.com. iHeartRadio. Blog Talk. Be right back, y'all. Class is in recess. We'll be back.
I won't be afraid just as long as you stand by me. So, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me.
Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago. The Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview.
Yeah.
And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Illinois National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
It's a princess. Another day of protest in Baltimore. I'm Scott Walterman. The news from the hospital in London causing the crowd to erupt in cheers. A baby girl becoming the fourth in line for the throne. Our Max Foster is there.
Her Royal Highness Duchess of Cambridge safely delivered as a daughter at 8:34 a.m. So a couple of hours ago, and the baby weighs 8 pounds, 3 ounces, so healthy.
No name yet. The baby girl becomes the latest member of England's royal family. The word from Buckingham Palace is that both mother and baby are doing well. Another day of protest planned for Baltimore now that six police officers have been charged in the death of Freddie Gray. Today's protest being billed as a victory rally. A state of emergency declared in Iowa by the governor there due to a bird flu outbreak. More than 17 million chickens and turkeys have been killed in an effort to stop it. There could be a tax-free holiday for guns in Texas soon. Michael Descano explains.
The Texas Senate passed a bill designating the first week before hunting season as a time when people can buy guns and ammunition without paying a sales tax. Archery equipment, hunting blinds and stands, hunting decoys, and hunting safety equipment are also on the tax-free list. Republican State Senator Brandon Creighton says the bill will be an economic driver for small businesses and will save hunters money. Texas already has tax-free holidays for school supplies and energy-efficient appliances. The gun bill now heads to the Texas House. I'm Michael Toscano.
Three men charged with running an illegal international sports gambling ring that made millions have pleaded guilty to racketeering conspiracy in San Diego. Prosecutors say they ran an internet and telephone gambling enterprise called Macho Sports for more than 10 years from a headquarters in Lima, Peru. I'm Scott Walterman.
Jared is the place to go for diamond fashion jewelry this Mother's Day. Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry has an incredible selection of diamond fashion designs in necklaces, earrings, and bracelets, including our jewelry brands, Neil Lane Designs and Diamonds in Rhythm. Or indulge her craving with Levion Chocolate Diamonds. Prices starting at $100 to over $10,000. Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
Welcome to Staples. How can I help you?
Hey, Staples guy. I need to promote my new business and do it on budget.
I can make that happen.
Can you print business cards?
Staples can print business cards, brochures, banners.
Pens?
Pens, magnets, luggage tags.
Calendars.
Calendars, sticky notes, lawn signs, and window decals.
What about foam fingers?
What color? Red, yellow, blue?
You had me at yellow.
Make on budget happen, make getting noticed happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get 40% off large banners, posters, and lawn signs.
Offer valid on all large banners, posters, and lawn signs in-store and online at 627.15. Discount applied before taxes may not be combined with any other offer. See store staples.com/signs for details.
WVON family, we need your help. Now through Friday, May 8th, WVON, in conjunction with CR Market Surveys and the Solomon Group Research Firm, are conducting an online listener survey to help our sales department secure advertising revenue for your favorite radio station. You know all about us. Now it's your turn to share some information about you, like what are your hobbies? How long do you listen to WVON per day? What are your social media habits? And other fun facts that will help us serve you better. All you have to do is log on to WVON.com and click the listener survey banner between now and Friday, May 8th. It's like the census, but it's for your favorite radio station. Do your part today.
WVON Listener Survey is an independent survey commissioned and paid for by Midway Broadcasting Corporation, a parent company of WVON. Needed sample size is 500 to 800 participants. Your individual participation is anonymous and confidential. This information is proprietary and is being gathered for the sole purpose of marketing and advertising research for WVON. CR Market Surveys and the Solomon Group LLC are independent market research specialists. Thank you for your continuous support.
Parents, you want the best for your children. You want them to have fun, but you need them to be safe. You may not know everything that happens at the prom, but you can remove some of the worry by hiring the best transportation company for that special night. America's Best Limo is at your service with a full fleet of vehicles, including sedans, limousines, and SUVs, to make sure your teenagers get to the prom and return home safely. Don't spend the evening worrying about who's behind the wheel. You designate the driver. Call Abraham at 773-550-8433. That's 773-550-8433. For the best service, at the best price. You want America's Best Limo, the official transportation company for WVON.
At WVON, May is Health Awareness Month. Here is your healthy reminder. Inhaling the scent of roses at night improves memory. Thanks for listening. Hashtag only on VON.
Attention seniors, join the Circuit Court of Cook County Elder Justice Center for a free senior enrichment seminar entitled Safeguarding Your Savings, Avoiding Financial Exploitation. This free seminar will provide valuable information to help you protect your money and avoid those who would try to take it away. Safeguarding Your Savings, Avoiding Financial Exploitation will be held on Tuesday, May 5th from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. in the courtroom 2005 of the Richard J. Daley Center, 50 West Washington. For more information and to register, contact the Circuit Court of Cook County Elder Justice Center at 312-603-9233. That's 312-603-9233.
This is a healthy reminder courtesy of New Life Health Foods. Spring cleaning applies to more than your home and yard. New Life Health Foods wants you to make physical spring cleaning a part of your life routine. Don't let yourself be plagued with bloating. Do a spring colon flush to improve your overall health. Think about it. You shower, brush your teeth, and wash your hair on a regular basis. But do you clean yourself inside? Do yourself a favor and pick up a bottle of colon flush available in powder, capsule, and tea form from New Life Health Foods. Stock up on alkaline water for just $1 a gallon. Just $1 a gallon for alkaline water. This helps skin elasticity and lubricates your bones and joints to prevent arthritis. Visit 3141 West Roosevelt Road for a healthier body. That's New Life Health Foods, and be the healthiest you can be. 3141 West Roosevelt Road, or call
772. We'll make everything brand new for Ebony, for Gary, Ebony, and independent visionary for Ebony, for Gary.
Ebony Tillman, and on May 5th, I'm asking you for your vote to serve as 2nd District Councilwoman.
I'm Ebony Tillman, and I approve of this message.
Have gone viral.
Mace Jackson.
So I say it's time for Chicago's black community to sit or get off the pot.
The commentators are here. Weekdays at 9:20 a.m. and 5:20 p.m. This is WVON AM 1690, the talk of Chicago.
The Sports Cipher.
Hi, I'm Farouk Basir.
I'm Maya Kai.
Make sure you tune in every Sunday night from 9 to 11 to hear the best sports talk in Chicago on The Sports Cipher.
We cover it all. Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs, Sox. Get all your sports talk here.
You might even hear a little UFC or WWE.
Sunday nights, only here on The Talk of Chicago.
Check out Maya and Farouk on The Sports Cipher. Sunday night, 9 to 11 on The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Are you suffering from arthritis, bloating, or a lack of energy? Is it because parasites have attacked your body? Well, here's great news. If on Medicare, you or a loved one qualifies for a wellness visit, this is free to you. Inside Lab Advisors' accredited Medicare team even makes home visits. They gather information that will have you feeling good again. If you want to join the thousands that have taken control of their health, call Insight Lab Advisors now and get the details on the wellness visit program. Imagine getting the answers to health problems that have been plaguing you for years, such as weight gain, loss of hair, gas, sinus headaches, lack of energy, and muscle pain. You now get these benefits with no copays and no deductibles. Insight Lab Advisors friendly consultants are available to take your call at 312-204-7276. Again, that number is 312-204-7276. Stop guessing about answers that are at your fingertips. Take control of your health today with Insight Lab Advisors.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
The whole world needs a
the present has brought her, facing the rising sun of a new safety eager, lit up by joy, till victory is won.
Difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I don't mind some difficult days ahead, like Baltimore and what's going on across this country in terms of black people. I don't mind because I've been to the mountaintop, and God allowed me to go to the mountaintop. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. We're going to get elected officials in office. We're going to open up doors for you to go into boardrooms you haven't been into. We're going to get contracts you haven't got. We will expect you to come back and rebuild communities. Even though it might burn down the whole country while after my assassination, more of you in place today, bring resources back. I don't mind dying, because I know that we as a people will get to the promised land, because those who get in office are going to rebuild communities. It's 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, in the world, in the city, in the state. It is 7 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock, and it's that time. It's that time. I'm going to do black enough for you. It's that time, y'all. It's that time. Courtney and Evan, take a deep breath. Black, 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 black. One more time, y'all. Black, 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 black. Is that black enough for you? Is that black enough for you? Black enough for you? It's black enough, y'all. Come on. Move on up, y'all. She's black enough. She's black enough. Put them in office and they're not scared to do what's right. I tell y'all. Talk of Chicago 690 WVON. Class is back in session. Dorothy Wright Tillman, Coffee Tea, in a conversation with me. 6 to 8 every Saturday right here on the great WVON 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're also on iHeartRadio. We're on Blog Talk. We're on BlackPlanet.com, Facebook, and Group Facebook. We are back, y'all, and we're talking about Baltimore. We're talking about black people. We're talking about some of those officers are black. I'm not shocked, because post-traumatic slavery syndrome. And then you got some officers back there who stand up, and you got some who don't stand up. We got to really deal with this. We have got to deal with repairing this damage, and we have got to deal with the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. We got this to take care of your home and then spread out, because this is our country. We built this country on our backs, and a lot of folks are enjoying the resources and enjoying this country, and we have a right to, and we got to get rid of that fear, y'all. We got to just get rid of it and do what's right. That's all we got to do. To be a nationalist don't mean that you hate anybody else. You just be stronger, because wherever you are and who's around you, whoever you're around, you're going to work on behalf of black people, and you work with all different folks on behalf of black people. That's the way it is, y'all. That's the way it is. We're back, y'all, and that's what we're talking about today. At 7:30, for a few minutes, or 7:30, 7:40, we're going to talk to Brother Shahid Muhammad from the Nation of Islam about the Boys to Men Conference May 9th. To save our boys, you need to come. It's going to be really a great from 8 to 17. He's really great, y'all. He's the one, you've probably seen him at Harold Washington talking about the math and the different stuff. Great brother. And what one some folks have not talked about, the role that the Nation of Islam have played in Baltimore. They was there before everybody got there. They've been there. They've been there with the mayor, with everybody else, and they have worked and they played a major role in the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam has played a very major role in Baltimore, and they're to be commended just like they did in Ferguson. But what happened is you have the powers to be to try to push you back so you can't see it. To let you know that we all work together, coming out of different roles. We got to have one objective, liberation of black people. So I'm going to go back to the phone. And as I told you, B.E. King, Benny King died. Stand By Me, he died. B.B. King is in hospice. He's sick. And we just losing our, in our music. We got to take over our music. Right now, you should be able to say, meet me on so-and-so. We're going to sit and have a tea or a drink or whatever you want to do. And talk and plot and plan. Everybody need a water hole. You can't plan nobody else's water hole, but all our water holes are shut down, and we just glad to see somebody singing music, somebody playing the music. Look at our music. You know, it's really, I told y'all, this stuff is just like when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, he was forced into glory, and those folks ran off the plantation, and they ran them without anything, apparent, any damage, and just sent them. And they went out with nothing because they've been taken care of since they've been from Africa. They've been treated like slaves and dogs, and just all they knew was working for the master. So they went back. And you got these Jim Crows and the plantation set up. That's the same thing in the 60s. Even after Dr. King was assassinated and we opened up and all these doors opened up for the elected officials, for folks who got contracts, for folks who got jobs, whatever they got, it was open up. But they were almost equivalent to when the people came off the plan, when the people came off the Emancipation Proclamation, because they didn't understand they was off to come back to rebuild community. Oh, I used to live over there. Oh, those people, those poor people over there. I used to live over there. I got away. I got out. You know, it's like we getting out. You can't get out and run from black people. So let me go back to the phone. I promised James I was going to get him and see what James. Yes, you back. Reparations now.
Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say kudos to you for putting out front the issue and the need for reparations in a Marshall Plan, as well as speaking to this black misleadership class that we have who don't advocate on our behalf, who do not represent us. And it amazes me that every election you have certain people that come out and say, vote, vote, vote for who?
Mm-hmm.
Vote for what? You know, and you know, people are afraid to be African. We are an African people. We are black. We can't get away from that. And you're right. There's nothing wrong with being nationalist. You got Hispanic nationalists.
Yeah.
You got Irish nationalists.
And that don't mean that
Polish
that's right.
Nobody says nothing about that. But our leadership is so taken aback. It started with the remember back. I think it was in the 80s when they came out with this. Multiculturalism.
Oh, I was always opposed to multiculturalism.
We were the only ones that bought into it, Dorothy.
Because you know why? It's a trauma. Because we want to belong. We're like a child who's been given away and trying to find their parents, and anybody give us love, we just accept it.
And then one more thing.
You understand what I'm saying, though? It's
exactly.
Like trying to belong. But first you got to understand, James, the descendants, we got to start from here in America.
That's right.
The descendants of enslaved Africans in America, we built this country. We have a right to these resources. Everybody else come in and they claim we have a right to the resources here. We have a right to a Marshall Plan and to our community to be repaired. But if we don't start there and stretch out, we won't get it. That's where we got to start. We're going to have a convention for the descendants of enslaved Africans in America to talk about our plan.
A lot of our people don't know, and those that do know, a little bit that they know, they're afraid of our history. That's something we can be proud of. Yeah, we're descendants of Africans, but we built this country.
Yeah.
This country would not be what it is today if it was not for African people. One more thing. You talk about coalitions, coalitions with Hispanic. We need to coalesce with each other first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then maybe on some issues we can have some alliances with the Latino community.
Yeah, you don't never hear them say. They haven't said nothing about coalitions. Thank you so much, James. They don't say that. And you can't get mad about them building communities like Dolores was on earlier. She used to be with Renault Robinson and Sappho and all of them. And Hispanic, they've looked at how we did and what we've organized. You can't get mad at them. They got the Hispanic patrolmen and all the other stuff, and they're moving and building communities to get resources and get this. Our people be telling them, nah, we have a right to the resources. They're ours. We put our pennies together. You put your pennies together, but you also got a quarter that you got to get back from the government that's your taxes. But we have to put together a plan, and we have to do that. We have to really, really do that. I want to play kudos to this 35-year-old, which let me know. And I saw these other young leaders talking yesterday. I want to play the district attorney. And then I'm going to play the mayor's statement, and I'm going to come back to you. Courtney?
To the people of Baltimore and the demonstrators across America, I heard your call for no justice, no peace. Your peace is sincerely needed as I work to deliver justice on behalf of this young man. To those that are angry, hurt, or have their own experiences of injustice at the hands of police officers, I urge you to channel the energy peacefully as we prosecute this case. I have heard your call for no justice, no peace. However, your peace is sincerely needed as I work to deliver justice on behalf of Freddie Gray.
Now, you know that's all.
To the rank and file officers of the Baltimore City Police Department.
Thank you.
Please know that these accusations of these six officers are not an indictment on the entire force.
See, I like that. You got some a young person. She said, look, I'm going to deliver you justice. You want no justice, no peace? Give me a minute to give you justice. Some black folks would have been scared to say that. They've been scared. What do you want me to say? Kudos to her. She had a brother to get killed by the police. Her family's all in the police department, too. So we're going to see. Kudos to this young black lady, and we got to work this through the system because they're already trying to start something. But I also want to play the mayor. I'm tired of them messing with the mayor there because the mayor, she's not no weakie. The white media tried to play it because at first when she heard these children was going to demonstrate, she pulled the police force back not to hurt these black children, and she said that in between that gave room for other folks to do other things. And then she was already talking to the president and everybody else trying to get help. But the white media came on her because she didn't take tanks out there and massacre those black children. And then we joined in with them because the white media said, so that woman is not weak. I'm going to play what she said.
About the fact that we need to stop playing and get real about what's possible. The reason why nothing can happen to the officers. And again, that the justice system will be what it will. We want the process to go forward. You're innocent until proven guilty. We're going to do all of that. But let's just say it was South Carolina. Even if the same thing happened, because of the laws in this state, we can't do anything until after the trial is over. And when I went down to Annapolis, to try to fight for reforms, simple reforms for the Law Enforcement Bill of Rights. People looked at me like I had three eyes. And now to stand here today and say I don't care, I don't want to reform the police department when I was down there, I'm not even going to tolerate it. The record is clear. I invited the Department of Justice in here to reform our police department to do collaborative reform. The only thing stronger than that is if they come in and do a consent decree, and nobody wants the Department of Justice to come in here and take over our city. The highest form of reform, the highest level of reform that you can get before they come, and the only reason they do a consent decree is if you don't own up to your problems. I know we have problems, and I was determined to fix them. Don't get it twisted. The sun is trying to tell you all different stuff. $5 million here, whatever. What they don't tell you is damn. Police shooting, discourtesy, excessive force, lawsuits against the city. We're finding more officers that are found accused of wrongdoing, guilty. They don't want to tell you that part because they don't want us to be in the victory. We will get justice for Freddie Gray. Believe you me, we will get justice. And we're going to do it because we're going to work together, because if, with the nation watching, three black women at three different levels can't get justice and healing for this community, you tell me where we're going to get it.
I like you. I tell you, that's what I wanted to hear. Justice. Black folks, be strong, stand up, and don't be afraid. You know, we cannot be afraid. All right. Shaquita. Is this Shaquita?
Hello.
Now, who is this?
Sadiqi.
Sadiqi. I thought it was Shaquita. I thought it was Q. Okay, Sadiqi.
Yeah, just very quickly, let me just say, first of all, as a black nationalist, I appreciate you putting the definition out there and make it very clear that it's not a negative, it's a positive, and then, you know, it's about caring about your people, whether, like you said, Latino, black, or whatever. It's about what's in the best interest of your people. But let me to say, first and foremost, that in terms of the physical destruction in Baltimore, it, you know, it's really kind of disheartening based on the fact that, you know, 50 years ago was disheartening, and here we are 50 years later doing the same thing. So I support your contention that we got to build from within so that we can develop respect from within our own community before we can get any respect on the outside, because what's happening is that we're very vulnerable right now because of the fact that, you know, we're not strong the way we should be, so the police feel that they can attack us.
Yeah, we're not strong because we got to come together and be one. You know, we had the Deacons of Defense. We used to be able, like I said, go to our water hole, Siddiqui, and we used to be able to pull together and to be strong, and we've been weakened on purpose. Black folks got to understand we have got to come together, come down different roads, but one objective, that's the liberation of black people.
Let me just say this also, that some folks might not agree with this, but I believe that what's going on in terms of Baltimore is a trick. You know, here in Boston, the last few decades, I've been involved in just about every police use of deadly force case that you could talk about. And during that time frame, we've only gotten one conviction, and that was a black cop who had shot and killed a 17-year-old, and he deserved to go to jail. Let me just say that what's happening here is I believe that Baltimore, I understand the whole thing in terms of, well, you know, we've got black women and the whole thing around justice. I believe, you know, I don't believe that it's a victory because I believe that it's orchestrated, because what you'll find is that with, you got three black cops involved, and the one with the most charges is the black cop who was the driver.
But you know
and
what, Siddiqui?
That he's going to jail because if it had been.
Well, let me say, we can't just say this stuff is orchestrated in terms of the black cops. One of the things black cops got to understand is that when they're there to hold justice for us. They're not all cops are like this, but I found that they be worse on some of our brothers and sisters than some of the white folks. I tell you, they really do.
Well,
and they think they have to be like that. They think they have to be like that in order to survive with this European. But let's see what happened here. Let's see, okay?
All right, let me just close with this by saying that I'm saying that if it had been six white cops, this investigation would still be going on, and no one, just like all the other cases, there wouldn't be any indictments or prosecution.
Okay, but I don't know whether that's necessarily true, because we don't know what this sister would have done. She seemed to be pretty strong. We glad. Thank you, Siddiqui. I don't know what they would have done and what. I think that, you know, we have to see, and we need to do this. What I'm going to do for a few minutes, shift gears, don't y'all go nowhere. I have Shahid Muhammad from the Nation of Islam, who's going to be doing, I'm going to talk to him for a few minutes. He's doing the manhood training and empowerment workshop, and the theme is Awakening the Sleeping Giant, Becoming a Man, Health, Finance, STEM, Career Guidance, Martial Art, Duties and Responsible Education, Entertainment, Technology, Robotic. And it's going to be at Mass Marion on the 9th of May, which is next week, and admission is free. So I told him I wanted him to come on because it's all relevant, and I wanted him to come on and to talk about this morning. Good morning. How you doing, Shahid?
Good morning. Assalamu alaikum, Queen. How
Walaikum
are you?
Walaikum salam. How you doing?
Oh, fine. Praise Allah. We're thanking Allah, God, for your powerful and thought-provoking radio program and for you allowing me on.
Thank you. Well, one thing I was telling them earlier, I don't think that before we go to the conference, that people in Chicago have to understand the role that the Nation of Islam have played down in Baltimore. They've been there for a good while, and they're playing a major role in the media, and some of the folks is keeping their role out of, but I think they played a major role in Baltimore, have they not?
Definitely. They were intricately involved in the community, trying to protect from looting and trying to bring some calm and peace amongst the protesters and everything. But like you said, we never get that exposure because they want to continue to have the facade that we're, you know, a negative group.
Right.
But we've been working in the community way before the things happened.
Right.
We're already in there. So.
And they was in Ferguson. They've been around. I know what the Nation is, what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have given you all to do and the charge he's given you. And I think that and you all been carrying it out, and I'm very proud of it. I just wanted to make sure I said it. Let's shift gears for a moment. I know how good you are with math. I mean, you know, how good you are with education. Your wife, Shahida, is very good. I know that my granddaughter, Dorothy, is at the MUI, and Shahida's her teacher. And she's 9 years old doing geometry and stuff and reading at a higher level. And I know how good you all are with you, how you kept taking these boys and these girls. And I tell people, my daughter's a Christian, my granddaughter. You don't have to be in the nation to come over and learn all of this stuff and all the things you are doing with these boys And the girls, too, but what you're doing with the STEM and all the things you're doing. So tell us about what's going on, and it's free on next week at Mass Marianne.
You know, you're going out a little bit on the
– you can't hear me?
Yeah, sometimes in a few minutes, then it goes out. But
well, maybe that's our friends who monitoring us. Go on.
That's okay. Uh-huh. So we're going to be we're inviting all the young men from, like as you said, from ages from 8 to 17. Of course, if they're 9, I mean, if they're 7 or 18, we're not going to turn them away. We're just trying to concentrate on that group that's working on becoming a man. We're going to have powerful presentations on what it means to be a man. We're going to be trying to teach our boys and young men how to respect and protect the black woman and all women in general. We're going to be teaching them about health, spiritual elevation, doing for self, being an entrepreneur. We're trying to promote them to go into the STEM careers because that's where
they can. Well, you tell folks what the STEM is because I know my granddaughter is very much into STEM.
Oh, yes, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We have a powerful brother that has a team that they build drones, build robots.
Right.
So they're going to be bringing those and showing those to the young men how they can go into those fields and make a living and help build their nation.
Now you have a math program that you have together too, don't you have this math program you've put together? I know it's dynamic.
Yes.
Tell us about your math program. Now these, and I see these 5 and 6 years old doing 6th and 7th grade math. Tell us about this math program that you put together.
Now that I have to give all that credit to my wife.
Well, I love Sister Salahita. She's my daughter. She's
making
great.
Little babies into math geniuses, but I'm affectionately known as the math doctor, and I've made a mission of mine to raise the level of math literacy of our people, and specifically, so I make math DVDs. I also do math workshops.
You do.
So they can get more information by going to www.themathdr.com, and I have my DVDs there, books, workbooks, and also the speaking opportunities. So.
Right, and I know they work. We've had you at the Herald Washington before. Some of the people came out to see you, but I know your DVDs, your math programs, and coming out speaking really work, and it helped the children get interested to show them how they really can do that. So
yes, ma'am.
What time? The program starts on next Saturday at doors
right.
open at what time?
Next Saturday, May 9th, doors open at 11 a.m. We're going to start right at 11 a.m. We should be letting the participants out by 4. But it's not just going to be all talking. There's going to be a martial arts exhibition and a demo because we have to make our young men brave fighters and defenders of their nation, where there's going to be a drill exhibition, of course, the free lunch, and other interactive sessions as well.
Mm-hmm. And so that's at Mass Marianne.
Mass Marianne, 7351 South Stony Island. They can just come to the front gates. We'll be there to welcome them with open arms.
And what do they, for more information, they call?
They can go to eventbrite.com. We have information on eventbrite.com. They can just type in Boys to Men Conference, or they can email me at mathdr12@aol.com. But the eventbrite.com is the website that has the event under Boys to Men Conference.
Or they can call Mass Marianne at 773-324-6200 or 6000.
6000, yes, ma'am.
773-324-6000. Uh-huh. Let me see. Can you take you want to take a couple of calls?
That's fine. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Mama D?
Oh, good morning. I was at the program that you did for the women on the 18th, and it was very powerful. But my question was in dealing with that, but I'm sure you can handle it. I testified at the hearings for torture victims spearheaded by the University of Chicago on April 4th.
Okay, do you have a question for Brother Muhammad?
Well, he knows about the United Nations.
Oh.
So this relates to that.
Okay.
So that was, you said we could talk about anything. So
no, not while I have him on. When I go back, you can talk about anything. Right now I'm trying to key in on what he's doing with these boys and what he's doing with what they're going to be doing over there. You know, you was an educator, so you know how important education and math and all that stuff.
I'm just saying a torture reparations ordinance is coming up on the 5th, and this is what my comment was related to. So can you just cue me in later on in the program?
Okay, put her back on hold. Thank you. Thank you so much. Sister Jetta? Sister Jetta? Oh, Mama D called back.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mama D called back. She accidentally dropped you. Good morning, Sister Jetta. How you doing?
All right. Is that program in South Carolina that Brother Muhammad's speaking about?
Oh, no. We didn't get to do the national the webcast like they did with the Save Our Girls program. We didn't because it's more like a conference. We didn't want the four hours of you in another city watching that, you know, and we're going to different places, and it would just be a little bit too much. If it was just a straight lecture, then we might have done that.
Will they be able to maybe get the video or something later?
Definitely. We'll have it videotaped and DVD available. They can just maybe call the mosque. 773-324-6000 afterwards, or email me mathdr12@aol.com. Maybe like a week later, and then we can I can get you the information on how to access that.
Okay, thank you, Mama D. Callback, Brother Mansong.
Hey, Hotep.
To you too, my brother.
Hey, listen, I want to give a definition of nationalism so folks will be clear. But
you want to talk to Brother Muhammad right now, or you want to go back on hold?
No, I want to go back on hold.
Okay, we'll put him back on hold. He want to give you a definition of nationalism. Okay, well, look. So, I mean, we should talk about definitionalism. It's getting these boys together, Brother Mansong.
That's right.
Getting these boys
building
together.
Building that nation.
I would think that building the nation is nationalism, you know. I thought he really would chime into what was going on with these boys. I know Maceo will. Maceo, how you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you, Arthur
Tillman? I'm fine. You know, we're trying to pull these boys and stuff together. I think it's a wonderful thing that they're doing over there.
Yeah, and I applaud you on that. But I would like to say something to add to that, if I may.
Go on.
Okay, as you know, both of you know, the great Paul Leroy Robeson's father was an enslaved African.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to read a little quote from his book, that is Paul Leroy Robeson's book, and this is very, very much in line with what you're doing, my brother. From Here I Stand, he indicates here, "He who comes hat in hand is expected to bow and bend, and so I marvel that there was no hint of servility in my father's makeup. Just as in youth, he had refused to remain a slave. So in all the years of his manhood, he disdained to be an Uncle Tom. From him we learned, and never doubted it, that the Negro was in every way the equal of the white man, and we fiercely resolved to prove it." And I just thought that was so apropos, that was so much in line with what you were saying this morning, and brother, and what you are doing with the young men and stuff like that. Our people, our youth especially, have to know that they are not inferior to anybody, that
right.
They can do anything. And our people have proved it over and over again. That's the beauty of our history and the music and everything like that. We have so much great history right here in this city that
mm-hmm.
is not being taught. But as I say, young man, I really applaud what you're doing with
mm-hmm.
the young people.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing, he was at the Harold Washington once, dude. He did a workshop, very good. And I know how you are about education for black men. I'm just there very excited, hoping everybody get over there. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to make sure my grandsons get over there. So, y'all, make sure you get over. Thank you so much.
And thank you, sir.
All right. Hold on. Shelly, have a question for you, Brother Muhammad. Shelly?
Yes.
Yeah, you have a question for Brother Muhammad.
Yes, Brother Muhammad, I was wondering if you were working on or if you would think about working on a weekend program for the parents, because just as we're teaching the kids, we have to make sure that the parents have the education and knowledge to follow up with their kids at home. A lot of us have not been taught properly in the school system. As we know, if they won't treat you right, they won't teach you right.
Definitely. And we're asking the parents to accompany the young men. And we also have, as the sister mentioned, we had to Save Our Women Girls program a couple weeks ago. So we open
yes,
up the classes. We open up the classes for the women, and there's classes for the men on Monday nights so that we can get their minds together so that they can, as you said, continue that with their children.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
The board is lit up with questions for you. Did he ask you a question, Sister Shelley?
Well, parents who don't have
I think she want to know when you said well, they don't have one. Maybe Sister, you and Sister Shahid can get together
one
to create a class for the parents.
We talked about that, too, at Muhammad University of Islam, having a parenting class. So,
and when they do it, Sister Shahid.
As far as mathematics is what I'm talking about, so that we can even re-enter the workforce or create our own with those skills. A lot of us are in professions, too. Because we did not grasp the math, you know, that is necessary for STEM. So going forward, renewing and learning, that's my question.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk to them more about it, and if they have, we'll let you know. You want to say something, Brother Muhammad, because I do
have
other folks.
I was just going to let her know that my program is not just for the children. It's for the adults as well. So they get the equipment necessary to get them mathematically literate and competent as well. So it goes from preschool all the way up to high school and college.
So tell them once again how they can get your program. I know it's great. It's a great program.
www.themathdr.com, and all the information and things are there available.
Okay. I got some other people, some other questions before I let you go. I'm going to try to take a couple more calls. People have questions for you. Dorsey, you have a...
Yes, hey, good morning, Dorsey.
Good morning.
And good morning to your wonderful guests.
And peace to
you,
Queen.
So, yes, I have a brief question. I just love the things you're doing with the young men. Now, me, myself, I have a son. He's 30 years of age, but he's special needs. And I've been really looking for something like within of your caliber, if you could help or if I could bring him for tutoring or mentorship or something. Can you please give me some advice?
Ooh, I would probably say, the information we're going to share, even though we have 8 to 17, still he would get benefit from it. That's just our target audience. So we would love to extend that invitation for you to bring him there.
I most definitely will.
Okay.
And then from there we can give any other resources that we have, because each participant is going to get a resource packet and bag so that parents have things that they can do for them, engineering camps, other camps, and other resources that we want to give to the youth so they can elevate their mind, soul, and spirit.
Thank you. And the timing is?
From 11 to 4 p.m.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dorothy. Love you, sister.
Love you, too.
Thank you, Queen. Take care.
Ms. Marianne, 7351 South Stony Island. And that's where you can go on next Saturday. Brenda, you have a question for Brother Muhammad. Brenda? Hello? Brenda?
This is Rhonda.
Oh, they got Brenda there. I'm sorry. Go on.
Hi, I had a question for Mr. Muhammad. Two questions. On the meeting next Saturday, do the parents have to stay there the whole time, number one? Secondly, will you all have a summer program for the youth?
Well, no. If we ask for the parents to stay the whole time, if they're maybe like 8 or 9, just so if something happens, we have the parent there, available. But 6 years old?
10.
Oh, 10. You could leave them and then come back, but just make sure that when we sign in, we're going to get all the contact information.
Okay.
But we'd rather you stay there if you could the whole time.
Okay, I will.
And
summer programs?
We don't have a summer program in relation to that plan, but we are going to be equipping you as a parent with different things that you could take the child to over the summer.
Okay.
Programs available and everything. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I know my grandchild is going to be involved in some summer programs that you all have put together. I really have enjoyed you. I'm going to try to the phone. You got some other callers, but I want to try to at least take the last 15 minutes to deal with some of the stuff that's happening in Baltimore. Brother Muhammad, Shahida, what I want to do is, Shahida, is to take a moment. Tell about your website so the parents who want to know about the math, explain to them where do they go to get the math for those people who want to learn themselves. Now, where do they go to find your math programs and all of that?
Okay, they can go to www.themathdr.com. All my information is there. They can shop and click at the same time. And to learn about the program coming up, they can go to eventbrite.com, type in Boys to Men Conference. But all are welcome, all are invited next week, 11 to 4, 7351 South Stony Island.
Okay.
So we can get our boys to be on the road to becoming men.
And they can call the mosque, Marianne, at 773-324-6000. So get on over. I want to thank you. You know, we're going to do another soon, Brother Shahid, we're going to do another math thing at the Harold Washington like we did before, because we really did enjoy when we had you there, okay?
Yes, the math bouquet. Thank you so much, Queen Tillman.
Thank you so much, and give the minister the greeting for me.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you and the family.
Thank you, and God bless you, too. Thank you so much.
Okay,
children, hold on to your dream. Peace to you, too, my brother.
Walaikum
salam. Okay, that's going to be something. He's doing it to teach these children how to hold on to their dream. I mean, he's becoming a man, health, finance, STEM, career guidance, martial art, duty responsibility, entertainment, technology, robotic. And I know it's working, and I see these little bitty 3- and 4- and 5-year-old kids doing 6th and 7th grade work. In order for our children to hold on to their dream, they got to learn, they got to know, they got to be able to read, they got to be able to do math, science, technology. We're doing our children a disservice if we don't teach them this. We got to do more than talk. This is for our children. Thank you, Brother Shahid Muhammad. They got to do it. To teach them self-worth. Get up, y'all, and get on over to Mass Marianne next week. Take your children. If you got boys, you might think about enrolling them in the school over there. We say Christian.
That someone cares.
Yeah. Got to deal with justice, and we got to deal with the minds and everything too. You tell somebody to get on over there, inspire them. They got to have somewhere to go. Babies, whether they in Ferguson, whether they in Baltimore, whether they in Chicago, wherever they are, they're ours. We gotta grab them. Some of these parents know their kids are bad. Knock them, they know. We gotta come around. We gotta have an internal, external problem we gotta deal with.
Dreams are the wings of the mind, you can fly.
Dreams are the wings of the mind, you can fly. If you think you're not going to live past 15, you can't have no dream. We got an internal, external problem that as a black community we have to deal with. We can't deal with the external without also dealing with the internal. We got to deal with repairing this damage. We have got to. The descendants of enslaved Africans in America, in this country, have got to come together and talk about repairing this damage in a Marshall Plan, education, health, economics. We can do that, y'all. That's part of the plan of solving this problem, not throwing a Band-Aid on it. I'm talking about we built it, and everybody who have wealth in this country, their wealth is tied to slavery, even if they came from Europe yesterday, because we did that too. We built this country now. We have to do that. We have got to, the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. But we got an internal and external problem. We know what's going on in our community, and we know who the bad ones are, who doing this, who doing what. We got to deal with that. We know what our community needs. We have the internal and external. Old ladies should be able to walk down the street and not be scared. We have to do that. We need to dig into the fence. We're going to go back to the phone. Mama D., I'm back.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mama.
quickly. As a Jim Crow genocide survivor, I testified at the hearing for torture victims spearheaded by the University of Chicago on April 14th, and it's going to pass on Wednesday, May 6th.
Okay.
Now, I testified to amend the ordinance to include the de facto segregation, hard mind, educational genocide damage that the city of Chicago admitted in the 1980 consent decree, but they fought against it for 23 years and never did comply with it. And the impact of that is still being felt today in Chicago, the most segregated city in the nation. Now, my question is, since the United Nations recognizes three areas of crimes against humanity, slavery, genocide, and torture, and December 18, 2015 will mark the 150th anniversary of chattel slavery crimes against humanity, and the president has used his executive power to give reparations to non-citizens as well as amnesty from crimes that are not federal crimes.
Mama D, I'm going to try and pull
together
For the descendants of enslaved Africans in America, some kind of conference. I'm just strictly dealing us. Some I've been talking to some people around the country to deal with just us in terms of the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. And that might be one of the things we need to talk about. I'm going to try to hopefully get it together before December. I don't know.
Absolutely, especially on Labor Day.
Well, now, what's your question? I don't know what it's going to be on Labor Day.
My question was, is it time to charge genocide at the United Nations level since the president has given reparations to non-citizens, not once but twice?
Okay.
That's my question to you.
All right, y'all answer me next week because I'm going to try to empty this phone. I'm going to try to empty the bank's call before I go. Manson.
Hey, Hotep again.
Uh-huh.
Before I give that definition, I was trying to respond to a few things you said.
Okay.
I actually witnessed an African, you know, black policeman down in Jacksonville, Florida, actually grab, you know, caught this white guy. He was about 60 years old, you know, giving him some problems. And so he grabbed him and turned him upside down on his head and crashed him into the concrete. And it was a real shocking moment because you usually don't see that, you know, but I saw that myself back then. And also you talked about the music. Of course, I was blessed to go to the Regal Theater on 47th Street, and we had all of that back in the day.
We had clubs. You could leave the day and go to some music and hear some blues or some jazz or piano music or something. We had clubs all over the community.
Yeah, but we do have the Grand Ballroom on 64th.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, I know we have those things right now, but I'm talking about clubs and different stuff we have to have that our people don't leave the community. You leave because you want to, not because you have to.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what
that.
I'm talking about. I'm talking about how do we have clubs, how do we have places to play music or to sit down and hear throughout our community.
We got to recapture that. But I would like folks to know that the Grand Ballroom was jumping last night. It's going to jump tonight and Sunday.
Okay.
And also, the DuSable Museum, it's a Hebrew group having a play called From Prophets to Pimps.
Okay.
That's tonight at 7 p.m. in the DuSable Auditorium. Y'all might want to check that out.
Hurry up,
now,
song. I ain't got but three
okay,
or four
the
minutes.
Main reason I called is, you know, before we can actually discuss something, we must define it. And you talked about internal, external, where nationalism, black nationalism, African nationalism will help solve our internal challenge and crisis. Now, Dr. Karenga, one of the foremost activist scholars and cultural nationalist leaders,
you got 30 more seconds.
Defines nationalism as the theory and practice or lifestyle rooted in the concept and conviction that we blacks are a distinct people with a distinct historical personality.
Okay.
And that we therefore should unite in order to gain the structural capacity to define, defend, and develop our interests as a people.
Okay.
And so nationalism is social analysis and strategy.
I got two more calls I want to get on the phone, Manson. You
so
will. I gave you 2.5 minutes instead of a minute. We had our minute time, so I gave you 2.5. Latrice, how you doing? Latrice?
Okay, this is Elder Latrice.
Elder Latrice, I give you a minute, and I have
okay,
to.
Okay,
I'm running out of time.
I'm gonna say this real quick. I'm a prophet to the nation.
Okay.
And I'm just gonna say it in my preacher voice. We are going through the same pattern the children of Israel went through in Egypt, the killing of infants, 400 years of slavery and oppression. Then God judged Egypt, whom the children of Israel had served with selective judgments and plagues that did not affect the children of Israel while in Goshen. Now, black people in America have gone through the same pattern
Yeah.
The children of Israel went through allowing the killing of infants, 400 years of slavery and oppression. God is going to judge, has been judging, America, whom black people have served with selective judgment and plagues that will not affect my people while. And
okay.
We're going to come out of
all right.
Our bondage.
I got to go now. Okay. I want to just play just 30 seconds of B.B. King and Bobby Bland. B.B. King is real sick. I don't know how many minutes I got over that cord. And it's two. This is Bobby Bland and B.B. King. Bobby Bland is gone and B.B. King is in hospice. You know, our real music, telling our stories and stuff. I just wanted to play some, and I'm going to do some more next week. That's Bobby. Bobby Bland and B.B. King. About it. 773-324-6000. Hey, I almost want to go out, but I got to thank y'all. Dorothy Wright, Phil McCarthy, in a conversation with me every Saturday, 6 to 8. We've enjoyed being here. We'll be back next Saturday. Until next Saturday, Dorothy Wright Tillman saying, reparations now, Bobby Bland, B.B. King. Reparations now. I tell you, I hate to. Woo! I'm going to play some more next week, but I got to go out with reparations if I can. Reparation now, y'all, for the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. Reparations now. And thank everybody who came out last week to enjoy my son's play. I thought he did a wonderful job. He's going to bring it back soon.
In this slavery industry is this nation's foundation of economy. What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough, my forefathers' hands, God bless us, forced to be a field hand by another white man. Mr. President, I'm here to represent for mine and other Africa in which you raped and left behind, draining her natural resource. So to her people, pay remorse or feel the force of a former slave. Kidnapped from my land, locked in chains, brought to a new world to maintain. Hard to survive while my kind's being hanged. Is it over now?
I'm a former slave. I've been shackled, been locked in chains, yeah. But somehow my soul remains. But is it over now?
District 2 will make everything brand new for Ebony, for Gary. Ebony, an independent visionary for Ebony, for Gary.
Ebony Tillman, and on May 5th, I'm asking you for your vote to serve as 2nd District Councilwoman.
I'm Ebony Tillman, and I approve of this message.